Hello, hello. Welcome to the Healthy Be Human podcast. My name is Callie Gwally. I'm your podcast host, and I am so excited to have you here today listening wherever you are. Welcome. I am currently recording this episode laying in bed. I am fully horizontal right now. It is very comfy, and it is going to be a solo episode today. I'm sharing my very raw, unfiltered journey with being pregnant. I think this story is going to truly help someone who needs to hear it, whether you're pregnant or not. I have learned a lot of things that apply to every single moment of just everyday life. Whether you're in the season of being a mom to be, or whether you are single and in college or high school, like whatever it is, I think these things I've learned are just very applicable to everyone. And I hope you love this journey and story I'm going to share with you today. I don't know why I haven't recorded like an episode like this sooner, but I feel like I'm in my third trimester, 30 weeks, so we have a lot to catch up on and a lot to talk about. But before we do that, I want to just go ahead and jump right into our self-check-in. So this is a moment to just really ground ourselves, see how we're feeling, see how we're doing. So wherever you are, just take a deep inhale through your nose, fill up your lungs with so much goodness, so much love into your beautiful body. And then just exhale, sighing out, letting go of anything that's been racing through your mind, any negative beliefs, just let it go. All right, ask yourself now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how am I feeling right now? And then asking yourself the follow-up question of, why do I feel like this? Maybe something happened, maybe nothing happened, just go real with yourself here. All right, now ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? If you haven't, grab water. Even if you have, grab water. And we're going to all hydrate in 3, 2, 1, cheers. Cheers to hydration. All right, next question is, I want you to ask yourself, where do I see myself in the next 5 years? Okay, I know this is a big question. Last week we talked about goal setting, so I just want to see if you set some goals for yourself. But just truly envision yourself, like, what is this version of you doing? Who are you with? Where are you? What are you working on? Whatever it is, just take a moment to cast some vision, and I always love to include God in it. So if you believe in God, just invite him in. And ask him, where do you see me in 5 years? All right, next question is, I want you to ask yourself, what is something that I love about myself on the inside? Maybe it's your confidence. Maybe it's your just what an amazing friend you are, your care for other people. Take a moment to just appreciate yourself. And now take a moment to appreciate something you love about your life. So ask yourself, what is something that I'm grateful for today? It's so important to be grateful. I have read somewhere that when you are worrying or anxious, a really great way to fix that is to find gratitude for something. When you're grateful, your brain doesn't have room to be worried or anxious. All right. Now I want you to just give yourself a little hug, a little squeeze. Tell yourself, I love me. I'm amazing. And let's get right into this episode. So before we do though, if you love the podcast, do me a favor and like, or not like, I don't know if you can like a podcast. Follow the podcast, leave a 5-star review if you love it. It helps us reach more people around the world, change more lives out there, spread the love, all the things. And also too, tag me in your Instagram stories. Share the podcast with your friends. My Instagram is at Callie Gwally, or you can tag me on Instagram at Healthy But Human Pod. I'm more active on Callie Gwally. I've kind of taken a pause from the Healthy But Human Podcast Instagram so that I can shift my energy into one place. Anyways, moving forward, let's get into a super, super quick life update. So I don't have a ton of updates because we're going to talk about them in the episode topic today, but I have one update for you, and this is for my girlies who maybe have been dyeing their hair, bleaching their hair for years. I dyed my hair since like 7th grade. That was a very long time ago. And I used, if you remember this, my hair not even a year ago was like platinum blonde, very blonde. stripped of all color. I wanted to be as icy blonde as humanly possible. But I basically felt conviction from the Lord in January around my heart posture behind dyeing my hair blonde. I was trying to be someone else. I didn't believe I was beautiful with my natural brown hair. Anyways, long story short, I ended up dyeing my hair brown. It was a huge change, one that I've still been working on getting used to, and I'm finally like starting to love it. But anyways, it has been a process. In the mix though, another reason why I wanted to dye my hair back to my natural color is because my hair was so damaged, you guys, so damaged. I had this piece of hair in the front of my face. It's like a face frame piece that genuinely has not grown, or it has grown, but it just breaks off and it has just been so fried for years. Anyways, recently I just kind of looked at myself in the mirror and my hair, and I was just like, oh, like my hair does not look healthy. It doesn't look happy. And I want to figure out how to really take care of my hair. So I went on YouTube and I did some research, just looking at different hair accounts, trying to get some ideas for how to heal and fix damaged hair from bleach. And anyways, I figured out, I learned a couple things I wanted to share with you that I think have actually made a big difference in the past several days of doing this. It's a very new journey for me and I kind of want to document it. But the first thing I learned, that I don't know if this is common knowledge for everybody, was not common knowledge for me at least, is you're not supposed to brush your hair from the top down. Basically, what you're supposed to do is section off your hair, start to brush the bottom of your hair first, and then brush the middle of your hair, and then brush the top of the hair, and then eventually do like the whole thing. But the reason is because when you brush from top down and your hair has knots in it, it actually can break the hair a lot easier than if you start lower. And even if you hold on to a little piece of your hair and then brush, 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 and then go up a little bit further, brush, brush, brush. Okay, I've been doing that, and that was something that I genuinely did not know you're supposed to do. So I want to pass along the knowledge if you're listening and you're like, oh, didn't know that was a thing. Okay, the next piece of hair damage help I learned is argan oil. So I watched a couple videos, and one of them was talking about like coconut oil, all these different oils. And I watched another video and the girl was like, argan oil is so good. And I talked to John, my husband, which is so funny that he, like, for some reason, John knows a lot about skincare and hair care. I am impressed. Very, very impressed at his hygiene. But anyways, he told me that he used argan oil in high school when his hair was like very, very fried, and not fried, but like damaged or whatever. I don't know why. Maybe from the sun or something. But anyways, he said it is really good. So I went and got some, and I've been just putting so much oil in my hair, trying my best to get it good. Because also too, I read the sun, like the strong sun, can damage your hair with UV rays. It's good to wear a hat in the sun. And also I live by the beach, so I go to the ocean a lot. And also I've read that, I think, well, my hairstylist has told me before, put conditioner in your hair in the ocean. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But I saw another girl who's like a little nature gal on Instagram post that she does coconut oil in her hair at the beach when she swims. It's a little better for the environment. So anyways, I haven't tried that yet, but that's just another thing I'm thinking about doing. Otherwise, I want to get a deep conditioner and also start using that on my hair. If you have any tips on how to heal damaged hair, please DM me them. I am very open ears. But these are just two things I've started doing that have really, I think, made an impact in just 3 days. Like, my hair looks a lot healthier already, which is so encouraging. So anyways, that is the life update. Also, I hope you can't hear this. I feel like it's so funny. Anytime I record the podcast, it seems like the lawn people for my neighbors show up and they just start mowing the lawn. I don't know if you guys can hear on the podcast, but it's really interesting. It happens very frequently. Anyways, let's move on. Let's get into today's little topic, talking about my very raw unfiltered pregnancy journey. Okay, backstory about why this podcast episode topic was inspired is because I actually just posted on Instagram and on TikTok a very uncharacteristic video of me talking about a pregnancy ick that I've experienced. And The point being is not to be negative. I don't like posting negative content on socials, but I wanted to share this because this is a topic that just I haven't seen anything about and has really bothered me for my entire pregnancy is getting this, a type of compliment, and I'm going to talk about this first before we get into anything, is getting a compliment that almost seems backwards to me. And this is something I've gotten my entire pregnancy. And I know that people don't mean it in a negative way. They don't mean it in a bad, out of a bad place whatsoever. Because a lot of people who've told me this compliment are people I'm close to, people I love, who I know their hearts. I know that it would never be from a bad place, which is partially why it got me thinking. Because I was like, why does this compliment bug me? Like, why does it not sit right with me? Just not saying it offends me at all, but saying that it just doesn't feel right. And so I started really, really just thinking about it more. And it kind of clicked in my brain the other day. Anyways, little story on what the compliment is. So yesterday at church, I was in the bathroom and I was just chatting with this girl who I'm friends with in the bathroom line. And I was talking about my experience being pregnant. I'm 30 weeks pregnant and I was just talking about it with her. And as I'm leaving the bathroom, this lady who I've never talked to, never seen in my entire life, comes up to me and she's like, I would have never known that you're pregnant. You hide it so well. Okay. Does this just not feel off to anyone else? I've gotten this type of compliment the entire pregnancy of, oh, you're barely showing, like you look so good, you can't even tell you're pregnant, all these things. And I know that they're not coming from a bad place in the person, but I have noticed there is something very off about these compliments that is a reflection of our society and where we're at. So obviously we are probably not strangers at this point to the fact that the small culture, looking small, is very glorified in fitness, glorified in wellness, just in our everyday fashion, all this stuff. And it really, really, I didn't think when I got pregnant that this culture trend would continue to be glorified in pregnancy. It's so interesting. Like even as people have made comments like this, I'm noticing that there seems to be a shame around looking pregnant and looking bigger and having a bigger belly. It's really been something that has irked me and bothered me because I'm sitting here like, there shouldn't be shame in the fact that this baby is getting big, that she's growing, that she's healthy. There shouldn't be shame in showing that your child is growing and that your child is healthy and that you have a life inside of you. Like it, do you know what I mean? Like it's just really been bugging me recently. And so I made a whole post about it because I'm like, I can't be the only one who is just not being rubbed correctly by this. Anyways, if you're listening and you're pregnant and you've been feeling shame for showing your belly or for gaining weight, or for getting bigger boobs, or for just having a completely different body that has just transformed over the course of however many weeks you're pregnant, I'm here to just tell you that that is beautiful. The female body is designed to fluctuate, to change whether you're pregnant or not. There's a reason why we fluctuate weight during our menstrual cycle. There's a reason why our bodies look different during different seasons of our life. And the female body is just designed to do that. And it's so cool. Like we're literally designed to hold life. We're designed to grow a life. It is beautiful. And so these compliments have really just shown this light to me that there is something off in our society. There should not be shame around being pregnant. There should not be shame around gaining weight. There should not be any sort of shame around changing sizes, around harnessing a child, plain and simple. So if you have a friend in your life who's pregnant, or maybe you are pregnant, I just encourage you to really hype up your friends who are pregnant, hype up your family members who are pregnant, hype up yourself while you're pregnant in the sense of like your body, you look beautiful no matter. Like you look so beautiful. You don't have to add size into any of it. Like just celebrating that person, celebrating the fact that their baby is so healthy. Because I know so many pregnant women struggle with body image, and I just want to address that really fast. It took a lot for me to post that today. I don't know why, and this is a whole other conversation, but I, for some reason, social media, it's really interesting. Someone voiced it very well who I follow, that it's almost like people on social media are expected to cater to everyone's problems and struggles and needs and not offend anyone. But I think as a result, it's been scary to voice things because of that, like, pressure to make everyone happy on social media. And I just kind of got to a point where I was like, you know what? I have people in my life who I know are going to see this, who I know have told me these compliments, and I pray they don't get offended. I pray that they know I love them and that I'm not judging them whatsoever for saying that. So, but it was hard to post that, I'm going to be totally honest, but I know that it is going to help someone. And so that's also why I'm sharing it on here, is I just need to bring this to the light because it's just needs to stop in our culture. Okay. Moving on from my little rant right there. Let's talk about my pregnancy journey. So first trimester, I want to just do a little quick recap. I'm also going to sit up. Woo. All right. Sitting up so that I'm not choking and can breathe better. Whew. A couple things that, so little backstory. If you listen to the podcast for a while, you may know that in October, John and I lost our first baby at 11 weeks. It was truly one of the worst moments of my life. I think to this day, I'm still processing it and still working through it in moments, because it just doesn't even feel real sometimes, because it was just a very traumatic time in my life. But that being said, the first pregnancy made me realize how much I wanted to be a mom, and it made me realize how much I loved being pregnant, and it made me realize how much I wanted to have a baby. Quick water break. That probably sounded terrible in your headphones. I'm so sorry. My water bottle has been making the weirdest noises recently. So anyways, backtrack. When I found out I was pregnant, the second time, it was such a different story than the first time. The first time I found out I was pregnant, we got married last April. I found out I was pregnant in August or July. I'm not totally sure. And I remember feeling an array of emotions. I'd have days where I was excited, days where I was like freaking out. I felt like I was so young. I felt like I had just gotten married to John. I had no idea what was happening. And I didn't tell anyone. So I didn't tell anyone I was close to that I was pregnant I told like one person. But I didn't tell anyone until around like 9 weeks, because I kind of had to, because I had my bachelorette party. Anyways, long story short, I was a hormonal mess. I was so up and down, and I ended up telling my friends at the end of the bachelorette party, because I was like, these people are going to hate me if I don't tell them why I've been a mess this entire weekend. But that being said, it was tough. I remember telling them, and I was just crying my eyes out, because I was scared. I just didn't know what to expect of being pregnant. So yeah, that was the first time around. Second time around, like I said, I knew I was so excited to be pregnant. And we actually had some really awesome prophecy around this baby, which is really, I might have shared it on the podcast. I had a friend who had a dream about me holding a baby girl in a swaddle. I had this other couple encourage John and I to get a physical baby product, to be like, we're having this baby, like we're claiming this, we're having it. And literally we asked the Lord, like, what do you want us to get to be like, we're having this baby, the enemy can't take it away from us. And the Lord told us to get a crib, which was crazy to us because we didn't even know we were pregnant. I was pregnant though at the time, did not even know it. And we ordered this crib on Amazon. We got back from our New Year's road trip to Texas, and I found out I was pregnant before the crib even got there. Like, it was really cool. So we had some prophecy around this child, before I knew I was pregnant. So when we found out that I was pregnant, it was a really different story. I was very excited, and I realized from the first time around that I didn't want to not tell people in my circle that I was pregnant. I wanted everyone to know out of the gates that I was pregnant, because here's the thing. The first time around, it felt like this big secret. I felt like I couldn't tell anyone because of the what if I lose the baby in the first trimester. That fear was so real in my first pregnancy. And then in the second pregnancy, I was like, no, I want to tell everyone I'm pregnant because I want people praying for my baby. I want people praying for me, who I know are prayer warriors, who are my close people. I don't want to be alone in this first trimester, throwing up every morning, feeling terrible, and feeling like no one knows what's really going on. Why is Callie not around? So I told my whole circle. I actually posted on Instagram. I was pregnant pretty much a week after I found out. From the gates, I was like, I'm going to post where I'm not going to have any fear. I'm not going to let this fear of losing the baby grip me this time around. So I had a very different mindset going into the second pregnancy. And I really truly believe that that was a huge, huge, it's been a huge help this entire journey, because one, I feel like I have a new appreciation for being pregnant, and two, I feel way more empowered in my pregnancy, and I feel like I'm actively like fighting and winning against the enemy trying to put these intrusive thoughts in my mind about fear and all the things. I'm not going to lie, the first trimester, it was a lot of just taking intrusive thoughts captive around fear of losing the baby. I'm not going to lie, I would find myself using the restroom and immediately checking to make sure there was no blood, because there was that past trauma from losing the first baby. I ended up going to inner healing at my church to really work on healing from that trauma of the miscarriage, and it helped me so much. And also too, I think just asking the Lord for the truth in the situation and having the Lord be like, your baby is healthy, all these things, it helps so much in those moments when fear is trying to knock at your door and you're like, no, that's not true. So that was the first trimester in a nutshell. A couple other things that I really had to work on is giving myself grace around not being as productive. And this is just something in life that I want to carry on even as I'm not pregnant and have my child in my arms, is continuing to just meet myself where I am each day. If I have a day where I wake up and I just feel low energy, just not running myself into the ground and being okay with that. Realizing that as a woman, my body and hormones are changing constantly. I don't have the same energy every day. I don't run on a 24-hour cycle like a man, and that's okay. And so I want to just continue to take that into postpartum and all the things. And I encourage you to do that too, regardless of where you're at, is realizing that, like, meet yourself where you're at each day. Love yourself, work with your body, not against it, because it's doing the best it can. Same with your mind too. Okay, another thing I learned in first trimester, oh my goodness, or not even learned, but struggled with, was food. I had this joke, and honestly, I posted it on Instagram a lot, about how it wasn't really a joke. It was just kind of like a haha. I would eat plain pasta with butter and Parmesan like every single day because it was the only thing that really sounded good. Bread and fruit. Meat sounded horrible. Food aversion was real. It was definitely a struggle for sure. And I talked about this. I opened up about this in a couple episodes ago. But the food aversion has honestly been a struggle for all the trimesters. When I know that, like, the thing is too, everyone's pregnancy is so different. So if you're listening, I'm not speaking this over you at all. Simply just sharing my story. I haven't heard of anyone else who struggled with food aversion the whole time. But I will say, in the food aversion thing, and this is something too, if you've been struggling with in general, just like food, I guess, is it's such a mindset thing. I've found that if I feel anxious about eating food, in the morning if I feel anxious that I might throw up from eating my breakfast. Literally just getting my mind off of the food, off of that thing, putting my mind on other things. So maybe it's reading my Bible while I'm eating breakfast. I've even in meals started asking John, like, hey, can you just tell me a story? And listening to a story and just not being engaged in the what ifs of feeling grossed out by my food or feeling nauseous. Or I'll watch, like, I don't know, a YouTube video or something. That's been really helpful. And I know that, I guess, in some situations, distracting yourself from the real thing isn't always the best. But when it comes to, I guess, the food anxiety, the food aversions, I found this helps me so much. It's just keeping my mind off of the negative and onto something that's really positive. Okay, let's move into second trimester. Something I'm very passionate about talking about on this podcast is the importance of taking care of our hormonal health. When I first got my period, I remember thinking my world was over and I would never not experience painful periods and feel like crying 24/7 the week leading up to the period. I know how frustrating the hormone journey can feel when nothing works and you just feel so out of control in your own body, which is why I'm super pumped to introduce you to Hormone Harmony, a complete plant-based hormone support for women that adapts to the body's unique needs and can help maintain optimal hormone levels, relieve occasional bloating and mild mood swings while improving sleep quality and supporting weight management. Okay, but why Hormone Harmony? Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens like ashwagandha extract that help the body adapt to any stressors like big hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony also has this ingredient I love called maca root extract, which I've personally used for a while now because it has been shown to provide sustained energy, relieve mild mood swings, and support a healthy desire and drive. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and is trusted by over 1.2 million customers, with women saying that they are finally feeling like themselves again. And Happy Mammoth is awesome because they make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CALLIE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CALLIE for 15% off today. Let me know if you try Hormone Harmony and what you think. So, second trimester, when I hit second trimester, I almost took like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, we did it. We're a second trimester. I think the fears that were just knocking at my door first trimester went very far away. I was like, we're good. We're in second trimester. Life is good. And it was really interesting because I had heard and read that second trimester, you typically feel a huge energy increase. So it's like the honeymoon phase of pregnancy. So here I am. I'm like waiting. I'm like, where's that energy boost that we've been looking for? I don't think I ever got it, to be honest. I think I felt slightly more energized, but really I didn't feel that different than first trimester. And that was really interesting with the whole morning sickness thing, because my morning sickness it was manageable, to say the least. It was very, very much came down to, did I eat food in the right timeline? I would need to eat something pretty much immediately within waking up, or else I'd feel really nauseous and throw up. So that continued into second trimester. It's continued into third trimester for me as well, which has been so interesting. But like I said, I don't think that happens to a lot of people. It's pregnancy. Everyone's body is very, very different. But I was just feeling so frustrated in second trimester because I had my hopes high to feel this crazy energy boost, to no longer feel morning sickness, and I didn't really experience that. And so that's just where I go. If you're pregnant, when you're pregnant, just try and go into it with not a lot of expectations. Just because one person's experience could just be totally different than your experience. Something else that I really had to navigate in second trimester is navigating my changing body. First trimester, it's funny looking back, I'm like, girl, you did not look like how you felt. But first trimester, I remember feeling very pregnant and very bloated. And then second trimester is when the belly actually started to like pop, you could say. And I started to notice my clothes, like my jeans, my one pair of, or I have like two pairs of jeans, but my favorite pair of jeans no longer zipped up. And I was like, oh, wait, whoa, my body is really changing. Because usually I wear like fitness clothes. And so it wasn't as noticeable the first trimester how much my body was changing. I felt like my body was changing, but I still fit things. So second trimester comes and all of a sudden my clothes are not fitting me. And I remember just feeling such low confidence. I wanted to hide. I wanted to just drown in sweatshirts, wear my baggy clothes, because I felt like I just looked horrible in everything that I put on my body that wasn't workout clothes or sweatpants. I got to this very empowering point. I think this is where I started to actually get confident in my body, is when I realized that was changing sizes, changing shapes, is a good thing in pregnancy. Like, it's great. It's not this shameful, oh no, I've gained weight kind of thing. So anyways, I ended up going to Plato's Closet, which is a really awesome resale clothing store. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to buy clothes that actually fit my body. I don't want to worry. I even think about sizes. I just want to get stuff that fits me. So I went in there and I got the size up in clothes. I tried it on. I was laughing because some of the clothes just did not work with pregnant bodies. Some rompers, I literally was with my friend and I was laughing so hard. I was like, this, I don't even know how to begin with this outfit. But then I found some really cute stuff and I basically got a ton of new clothes and it was like $100. It was very affordable for how much I got. It was amazing. So that was a really fun season of going to Plato's Closet. I think I went like 3 days in a row at one point as I was revamping my wardrobe. And all of a sudden, I just started feeling so much more confident. There is a huge, just there's so much power in not worrying about your size. And this goes pregnancy and beyond, but truly finding clothes that fit your body shape, that fit your body type, your body size, all the things. Because sometimes different brands, a size medium in one brand is a totally different size medium in another brand. So really, size does not mean anything. And that is something that I was learning in second trimester. And all of a sudden, I'm like confident in my clothes. I feel cute. I feel like, I don't know, I just like felt so much better. And that was a really big milestone for me in my pregnancy, is just having that empowering moment of not wanting to just hide under baggy stuff. So then another thing that happened in second trimester is I mentioned this on the podcast. I don't know if this is first trimester or second trimester. I really, really want to have a natural birth. So bad. I want to have a birth that's as natural as possible. I'm reading this book by Ina May. It is... I'm grabbing it. Oh, okay. I had to reach for that one. It's Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. It's incredible if you are pregnant or want to be pregnant. This book is awesome. It's all about childbirth. And I will say I skipped like the first chunk of the book because it's all pregnancy stories and I just didn't really want to read them. And I got into the general just stuff about labor, all the things. But she writes the book from a really cool perspective. It's very much from a perspective. She's a midwife. She writes it from a very natural perspective, holistic health kind of perspective. It's very empowering. Talking about how birth is not this crazy medical scary thing that it has been painted to be, how the female body knows how to give birth, and a lot of just things that we're not aware of. So I love this book. It's very popular and my friend recommended it to me. So I read that and then I read another book called Supernatural Birth, a controversial book that I didn't even realize was controversial. I love it. It's another great book. It's very empowering as well. It's all about just making declarations over your child, declarations over your baby, over your pregnancy. And it is rooted in Christianity. It's incredible. There is some scripture that I think is a little bit misinterpreted, which did raise a red flag for me. But I will say that, like, overall, the book is just it's so good. And there's a lot that is spot on scripture as well. So that was another good book. I love, love, love. So what was I saying? Oh, I was talking about my, where I want to give birth. So this was something that definitely was a big chunk of the first, second trimester in terms of worry and fear, is I really wanted to have a natural home birth. I still do. And I think it's going to happen. We'll get there. I called this place that I just kept getting recommendations about. I prayed about it, all this stuff. And I ended up being number 7 on the wait list. And I was like, okay, I feel like this is the right place, but I don't know. Anyways, around the time I was going to my current OBGYN, and I didn't love the doctor I was seeing. My insurance started having issues. They weren't, for some reason, it didn't get taken. I don't know. I was having all these issues, and I ended up just taking a break from going to the doctor for a couple months and trying to just pray about all of this, really figure out what was the right path that I'm supposed to go down in this pregnancy. Long story short, I feel like the Lord is being like, you can go back. Go back to the doctor you were seeing. Because I was like, I don't want to just not be going to a doctor, you know? So I go back to my doctor, and they all of a sudden, like, my insurance, it was getting taken. It was so much easier. I was seeing this one midwife I was obsessed with. Like, she was super into all the things, health and wellness, nutrition, like, such a great, 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 great midwife. And this is when I'm about to go to Hawaii. So she had raised this concern because, not because I had gained weight, but because the pace at which I was gaining weight was showing a potential underlying health condition that she wanted to make sure I didn't have. Anyways, she ran tests. I took tests and made some changes to how I was eating, all these things. Praise the Lord, I ended up not having gestational diabetes, and all that stuff is good. She really, really helped me a lot with my eating, especially, as I mentioned, in first trimester, I was struggling so badly with food aversion. She gave me some really helpful tips around not feeling so averse to protein. She said plant-based protein is a huge, huge win for pregnant ladies. Like, lentils, chickpeas, beans, all those things are super good, just non-meat sources of protein. And she really just encouraged me to try and eat more protein as I could, try and up the protein, decrease the sugars. And I will say that with her tips, I have felt so much healthier, just so much better, more energized, more nourished. So that was a huge blessing, is going to this new midwife, but at the same location as the first doctor I was going to. And then recently found out that she is no longer going to be a midwife there. She's taking a break from midwifery, I think. So currently in this place where I'm just trusting the Lord with the whole doctor, everything situation, I know that no matter who my midwife is, it is going to be an incredible birth, and I'm putting my faith in that. So that is something that I learned in second trimester too, is just staying open-minded and letting the Lord lead. Praying before I go to appointments, that was huge. Huge, huge, huge. Because I want to backtrack a little bit further. When I was reading the supernatural birth book, it was very empowering to me because the whole thing was saying, like, sometimes in life, doctors will give diagnoses, and doctors are great. Like, they're not out to get us, right? Like, you're probably listening and there are doctors listening to this. Doctors are amazing. But I had this mindset prior to, reading supernatural birth, the doctors were out to get me because I had such a traumatic experience with my miscarriage. So anyways, I definitely needed to heal my relationship with the medical industry a lot. I needed to rebuild that trust. And so this whole book was really empowering to me because it was basically saying, like, even if you get a diagnosis, you can pray against it. The Lord is our healer. He heals. And it is really empowering to be like, okay, something in my body maybe isn't working properly, but, like, we can pray against this. So when the doctor thought I had gestational diabetes, John and I were praying against it. We were taking prayer steps in the spiritual realm. We were also taking physical steps in the just the way I'm eating realm, mindset steps too. And okay, I need to heal my relationship with food. So I think that that was a huge learning thing I experienced in second trimester, was just that whole healing process around doctors, diagnoses, potential health problems, all this stuff, because fear doesn't have to control whenever a diagnosis comes. We can be empowered. We can stand in our authority with that we have with Jesus and be like, I'm going to pray against it. I'm going to pray for healing in this. And we don't have to be defeated because we have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, you guys, is the strength. Okay, other thing that happened in second trimester is I went to Hawaii and I thought I got a blood clot in my leg. So that was a little plot twist in the pregnancy journey. The belly, you guys, was getting so big at this point. So I go to Hawaii. I'm like standing up on the plane every 30 minutes trying to prevent blood clots. And my belly is big. I have to pee constantly. We get to Hawaii and I'm like looking at my leg a couple days later. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't look normal. This looks like a blood clot. So I'm starting to panic. And we ended up going to this urgent care. It was an amazing experience. There was a Christian urgent care. They have YWAM on Big Island. And I guess YWAM started this urgent care that was rooted in Christianity. The doctors will literally pray for healing for you if you want. Like, it was so cool. I had a great experience there. But anyways, they ended up sending me to the ER to get an ultrasound just to make sure it wasn't anything too serious. Praise the Lord, it was not a bad blood clot. It was something to do with my circulation in my leg, but it all went away. So we're all good. But that was a little plot twist there. And then in Hawaii, it was so fun because I just, like, my belly was just growing. We started to be able, John could feel her kick, our girl kick. And it was so cool. It was like, I think we also, yeah, that's when we could start to see her kick too. So that's when I was like, whoa, this is getting really, really real. And it was a really good experience too of just continuing to practice slowing down. I would have days where I felt like I just needed a nap for several hours and it was hard to slow down, but definitely taught me there is a lot of power in taking naps when you need them, especially if you're in a bad mood and you're tired. Take a nap. Pregnant or not, take a nap. Which leads me into the next trimester. So third trimester started a couple weeks ago for me. I'm 30 weeks pregnant as I'm recording this, which is so crazy. If you don't know, pregnancy is 40 weeks long typically. And so I have 10 more weeks, which is so crazy. And I think just keeping this very raw and unfiltered and just sharing the honest truth about pregnancy. I feel like I'm sharing the maybe not so great moments. I don't really know. I'm just trying to be honest about it. But I think in third trimester, I want to talk about positives at the end of this because I do feel like this, I don't know. I feel like I may be talking a little negative. What I'm learning is what I'm talking about. All right, third trimester is, I like have all these things written down and one of them is learning. I have been learning a lot in this trimester. I got a baby book called Baby 411. John got a baby book. I think it's the What to Expect book. I don't know who it's by. We started just learning basic baby stuff because we realized that we didn't know anything about babies. I've never changed a baby diaper. The first baby I held was this past year when my best friend had a baby. And anyways, it has been, I realized I was like so scared to have a child because I didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, you know, in these moments when we feel uncertainty and we feel unknowns, we can learn. We can learn more in that area and educate ourselves. And I found a lot of comfort in working on learning more. And so that's been really, really cool. I think that goes hand in hand with everything in life. If you're feeling really stressed out about something, let's say you're stressed out because your hair is breaking like mine was, do some digging, do some research. Take that into your hands. No one else is going to do it for you. Okay, the next thing is the kicks. Oh my goodness. I told you already, the kicks started to be very strong in Hawaii, but they have gotten like so strong. So strong, you guys. I had a blanket on my belly yesterday and it like moved. The whole blanket moved. I was like, what? Oh my goodness. My doctor told me apparently at some point you can maybe see the baby's hands and feet, which is so crazy. And I'm really excited for that. So that's been a really fun little update in the third trimester. Also, the belly has grown so much in third trimester. I thought it had already grown a lot in second trimester, but it is growing. It's growing fast. My belly button, I don't know if it's going to flip to an outie or not. We're getting, like, it's looking like it might. And today it was really funny because I worked out and I looked at myself in the mirror and I had a literal belly button sweat ring. I've never had that in my entire life. And I was like, this is so cool. Also, my dogs have started to notice I'm pregnant and Joy has been licking my belly. She's never done that before. It's so cool. And then Axel also has been just like, he knows something's up. His nose is like to my belly and he's just staring at me, which is so funny. He just likes to stare. Okay, other things in third trimester I've experienced is, wow, the sleepiness has definitely been real in third trimester, but it's been really cool. And this is something I have a little theory about because I know I'm not alone in this. I know this happens to some other people. In third trimester, I've noticed I wake up more during the night than I have ever before. Usually I sleep through the night, but in the third trimester, and it kind of started in second trimester too, I'd wake up like once a night. John started doing it too. He started waking up during the night. It's so crazy. And I have this theory that it is God preparing me for waking up in the middle of the night for a newborn. Like, he's slowly easing my body into this through a transition so that it doesn't hit me as horribly hard when it happens. Because now I'm like, before I would literally, if I woke up during the night at all, I felt like my day was over. But now I feel like I can function and it's not that bad. I've gotten used to it. So that's been a very interesting little observation I have noticed, is I feel like I'm transitioning the sleep stuff. And I definitely have been napping in the afternoon. So maybe, you know how I said second trimester, I didn't feel like huge energy boost. I feel like third trimester, I've noticed a bit of an energy decrease for sure. Literally recording this podcast, I'm falling asleep. I need a nap so bad. Whew. Okay, what else? bear with me. So I talked about the sleepiness. Oh, this is a huge one. This is something else I've been navigating in third trimester, is the waiting season. I didn't realize that pregnancy feels like a huge waiting season, because you, especially if it's your first child, like, you don't know what to expect. Like, I have no idea what to expect with a newborn child. I don't know how my life's going to look. And I almost am comparing it to when I graduated from college and was in that awkward post-grad transitional period of just being like, where I was about to graduate college and I was like looking for a job and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what life is going to hold. I've been in school my entire life and now I'm going to be out of school and I'm going to be doing this like 9-to-5, 9-to-6 lifestyle. I have no idea what that's going to be like. Anyways, that's the only thing I can really compare it to. But it has felt like that a lot. And I think there's been a lot of emotions around that no one talks about. It's just, it's so interesting because I'm like waiting for my daughter to come, but I'm also still like operating in this new phase of my life as in pregnancy, but also I don't know what's coming. Like, I don't know what to expect. So it's been very interesting. I think I'm just very thankful to have the Lord and to be able to talk to God about things and ask him for guidance and ask him for peace and just lean in on him when I feel those uncomfortable moments, because it has felt uncomfortable, I'm not gonna lie. But enough of kind of the learning lessons, things that have been tough in pregnancy. I think things I've absolutely loved in pregnancy, and I'm gonna keep this list, I'm gonna end the episode soon, but I think I've loved seeing how intricate the female body is. Pre-pregnancy, you know, I already was super passionate about hormonal health and cycle syncing and seed cycling and all those things. But since being pregnant, it's just been like, whoa, the female body is so complex. It's so beautiful and designed perfectly. Perfectly. The way that everything works together to grow this baby, and the way that the body can just adjust and things can move around to make space for the growing baby, the way that birth works, I can't wait to experience birth. I can't wait to give you guys the whole lowdown on that too. But it is just so mind-blowing to me. Even the concept of breastfeeding, learning that the body naturally adjusts to how much breast milk the baby's needing. If the baby is sick, the body, it basically it knows what nutrients the baby's needing and adjusts for that baby. Like, what? Literally what? It's just so cool. Like, I genuinely am blown away by the female body, and it has made me just see the Lord a lot more in creation. I'm like, how is this not evidence that God is real? Like, this whole process is so cool to me. I think something else that I'm loving is just, I'm loving seeing my body in a new light. And for the first time in a very long time, exercising, because it's like I'm training for something. I feel like I'm training to give birth, and I'm training to be able to hold my baby and have arm strength to hold a baby. Because, oh my goodness, I got my stroller the other day. I lifted that bassinet out of the thing, and I was like, bro, this is not light. So I feel like I have a whole just new mindset around fitness. It's so refreshing. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. It's no longer, how flat do my abs look? It's like, ah, there's my baby. Okay, how can I engage my deep core muscles to prevent ab separation and, you know, strengthen my body and prepare for birth? Like, it's just been so refreshing. And I'm excited to continue to see my body in this way after I give birth, because my body is like powerhouse. I think another thing I've loved is just involving John in the pregnancy. I know it's not the same for every single person with their partner. I know that not everyone has a partner in pregnancy, but also this is me just trying not to offend people. Like, I'm gonna stop it. Something that I've loved in pregnancy is how close John and I have gotten, and how I've just let him into the pregnancy. I'm just so TMI with him. I share everything. I'm like, this happened. Okay, I have to be so TMI. Oh my goodness. Something I didn't realize about, I just thought of this because I was telling you about how I share a lot of things with John in the pregnancy, and that's been really beautiful in our relationship, because I feel like it's allowed him to be involved more in the pregnancy. But I thought about this because I was saying that. So as the baby gets bigger, I learned that like the intestines and stuff get pushed towards the back of your body. Like, they move. Anyways, I have had, like, this is so TMI, but gas and like pooping have felt so bizarre recently in pregnancy. It's like I'm relearning what it feels like to have these things, because it doesn't feel the same as before. It's so wild. So, so wild. But the body's very, very cool. And it makes me, like I said, appreciate the body so much. But anyways, I have loved having John just be so supportive. And this just is something that we all deserve as women, is having a partner who hypes you up and loves your body and tells you you're beautiful the entire pregnancy, even as your body changes. Like, that is something that I have loved in pregnancy, is just seeing his heart, seeing that he loves me for more than just the body I had before getting pregnant. And it's like, he's so loving and so supportive and just like number one hype man, and he's going to be an awesome dad. So that has been something that has been really beautiful in pregnancy. And then I think also too, just really growing close to the Lord. I think in uncomfortable waiting seasons, transition seasons, in the moments when there is intrusive thoughts of fear, I think it's such a cool opportunity to really just press in on the Lord in a weakness moment when we feel like we can't do it in our own strength. So that has been really beautiful and a constant daily thing I need to stay mindful of to do. But all in all, it's been really cool. And I am just so thankful for this season of my life. And I'm really glad that I recorded almost an hour long episode documenting the pregnancy so far, because I know that I will look back on this one day and I'll be like, oh, that was such a special, sweet season. So I think one more thing I just want to voice really fast in this pregnancy is I feel like I've had this desire recently to be close to family, which I haven't really had. Like I went to school far away from my family. I love my family, but I went to school in Florida. They live in Pittsburgh. And then John's family's in Texas. Haven't lived near my family in a while. And it's interesting because I have noticed that since being pregnant, I just have this desire to be close to family. So that's been very interesting. Thankfully, my mom got to come for a week, and then John's parents are coming soon. But it's just, I know that in postpartum, I'm going to have to lean in on my friends and community here and ask for help, even if they're not my biological family. I know my family is going to do their best to come down, but that is one thing that I guess I've been a little nervous about, is just being far from family. So if anyone has any advice on that, please let me know how you navigate it and all those things. But yeah, so that's been another part of the pregnancy journey that I feel like I haven't really opened up about with a lot of people. I don't know why I feel emotional right now talking about this, but yeah, so that is the pregnancy journey so far. I definitely left out so many details, and I'm sure I'll end the episode and be like, oh, I should have said that and that and that. But all in all, it has been a season of many highs, many lows, many moments where I was like, this is new. This, I think I've had so many moments where I'm like, this is new. This is a new feeling. This is a new experience. I'm just really thankful. And if you are pregnant right now, I am here for you. Truly, I am sending you all the love, praying that you have an amazing, healthy, awesome pregnancy. And just know that no matter what your pregnancy looks like, God is in it with you. I know every person has a different pregnancy experience, just like we have a different experience every single day in life. No one has the same life. And that's something that's really cool, is that we all have different experiences. We have similarities in our life, but we all live a different life. So I hope my story is helpful. I hope that things I've learned help you. And I can't wait to keep you posted on how this journey continues to play out. So we got 10 more weeks to go, and then baby Goali will be here. But yeah, on that note, I hope you love this episode, and thanks for being here. You're so loved. You're so special. And I'll see you next time. Bye.